Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing cutting the cord and the best streaming options.
Joel, I'm excited that we're talking about saving some money when it comes to our entertainment, what we spend our money on. We're not only going to talk about cutting cable, removing that cost altogether from our lives, but we're also going to talk about some free options when it comes to watching televised entertainment. Quick question, did you ever have cable as an adult, you know, having your own TV, your own household? Did you ever pay for cable?
You know, I think one time when I lived with some guys early on and we just had to watch baseball,
right?
And there weren't streaming alternatives that exist now where you could actually get sports.
Exactly.
I don't even think streaming was a thing then. So that was probably 13, 14 years ago. So
yeah, I was kind of digging back in my mind and I don't think I've ever paid for cable, dude. Even in college, that is one thing that I'm pretty sure we skipped out on because we were just cheap. At least I was cheap and I don't remember ever watching TV in college, at least. I remember I had some friends and they had cable because we would always go over to their place to watch the different shows that came on. You know, the OC. Do you ever watch the OC? OC parties?
Yeah, that wasn't a cable show though, right? That was, you could watch that via your antenna.
Oh, really? Well, they didn't have antennas back then, did they?
Yes, of course they had antennas back then.
They weren't digital. I mean, we didn't have rabbit ears or whatever, the bunny ears, but hey, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
We are. So my question for you though, did you ever have cable growing up at home? Like, did your parents pay for cable?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
See, we didn't have.
Most definitely.
We never had cable growing up.
Oh really?
So for me, dabbling in it when I first got out of the house and actually being able to watch whatever I wanted to watch, which I've never really been a huge TV watcher, but it was huge because we never, ever, ever had cable throughout all the years that I was growing up. So yeah, I felt deprived and I kind of had to go with it when I got out of the house and had my own place.
Nice. It's sort of like when I moved off to college and then I bought tons of apple juice because that wasn't something we ever bought at home. Was apple juice. And I would buy these giant gallon jugs of apple juice. And as I was transferring the groceries from my car to inside, I would drink like half of the jug of apple juice and then I would get sick because I was a dummy and that's just what I did. So,
dude, that sounds like something you would do.
Yeah. Does that sound familiar?
Right? Yeah. You just like get completely drunk on your freedom and drink it.
I was like, sweet apple juice. I've never had apple juice before. I mean, I had, but not, I guess, in quantity. I was like, you can get this in 1 gallon sizes. It's like I was a kid and I had only seen like juice boxes or something. A quick story for you. It's summertime. You guys have been doing a lot of driving lately. We have as well. Kind of getting away, going to the beach, visiting family. We were at my folks' place recently and I was kind of washing up the van a little bit and we were all standing next to a tire and Kate pointed out that she's like, man, that tire looks really low. And I looked down and it almost looked like it was flat. There was a lot of air missing from that tire and I thought, oh, that's not good. Well, turns out it was really, really low. I'm talking like over 15 pounds of air low, which is just not good. That's not what you want to have when you've been driving on the interstate for a long time. In particular, because it's supposed to affect your gas mileage. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about the different supposed rules when it comes to keeping your tires inflated, getting good gas mileage? It's kind of a standard thing, right?
Yeah, I've always heard just a couple PSI above maybe even what your car manufacturer suggests is going to help you get better MPGs on the road. Is that not true?
Yeah, well, it's true. So a negative amount of pressure. So if you're below the recommended pressure, it can most definitely affect your miles per gallon. Specifically, for every 1 PSI, for every 1 pound that you're below where you should be, that could equal about 0.2 or 0.3% less gas mileage. And so for us, we were about at 17 pounds low, which meant we were looking at about 3% worse gas mileage, which isn't a ton, but it's certainly something to be aware of. But my real story is that got me thinking about how I've heard sort of these urban legends about if you inflate your tires more than what your car calls for, but obviously you want to keep it within the safe range of your specific tire.
You don't want to blow out.
Yeah. But that you get better gas mileage. So essentially, you know, the tighter the tire is, there's just less friction as the tire rolls along.
Well, makes sense intuitively in my mind.
Yeah, in my mind, it makes sense as well. But I did some digging around, man, and turns out that is not true. I found multiple folks.
Did you find something on Snopes or something?
I didn't look specifically on Snopes. Is Snopes even real? Like, how do I Snopes?
That's a good question.
I feel like I've heard it referenced so often that I'm like, that's not even a real site anymore. Is it? But I did do some research, and multiple folks have done their own tests, and it turns out that the additional gas mileage that you can get, it's so nominal that statistically speaking, it doesn't even register at all as a benefit. Mm. So that being said, if you are the person out there inflating your tire, maybe 15, 20 pounds more than what your car recommends, but you're still under that limit that's printed on your tire, well, you could do that, I guess, if you want, but you're not going to get better gas mileage. And keep in mind that it actually might be unsafe for you to disregard your car's recommendation.
You know what it reminds me of, Matt? We've talked about just kind of those little ways that people try to squeeze an extra penny, like driving a little bit further to get a cheaper gas per gallon.
Right.
And this seems like kind of one of those things where it's going to have such a negligible effect, it's probably not worth your brain power to even think about it. Having your tires filled properly, you know, like you should have had, right? And that you went to take care of. I mean, that's a good thing to do. But really to hyper-focus on that. If you want to cut your spending on gas, drive less. I mean, really, ride your bike more, drive less, take fewer trips, run more errands at one time as opposed to segmenting them out into different days or different times. Those are the ways that you're going to be able to actually cut the amount that you spend on gas every month. But these kind of ways to try to gain this extra, you know, 0.1, 0.2 percentage of fuel economy just seems kind of like a waste of time, really.
Yeah, not worth it. So, but quick shout out to my pops, to my dad. He's the one that he actually went to all my tires and like filled them up to exactly where they're supposed to be for the what the car recommended. So, yeah.
That's what dads are for.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. And actually, shout out to my wife as well for noticing it because she's the one that was like, that doesn't look right.
That's awesome. All right, Matt, let's mention quickly the beer that we're having on the show today. We're drinking Saison Double by Side Project Brewing.
Nice. And is it not Saison de Bleu?
I have no idea.
That's what I want to say. It just says B-L-E.
It sounds French. And French is not my strong suit. So but Side Project is well known for making just some awesome, awesome beers. And our friend David was just up in St. Louis and brought this back for us. So thank you so much, David. We're really excited to have this beer. And we'll let you know what we think about it at the end of the show.
Yeah, thanks, David.
All right, Matt, on to the topic at hand. We were talking about cutting the cord and the best streaming options that are out there. And really, people are ditching traditional pay TV options in droves these days. That's because there are so many options out there for TV watchers now. Cable prices have skyrocketed way faster than the rate of inflation. They're gouging the customers that remain. So if you are loyal to a pay TV company, you are going to pay more every single month because of everybody else that's leaving. They're sticking it to the people that stay. So we think that means that you should get out of that expensive relationship as quickly as possible. If you're one of the few that remain, you should leave. And we'll give you an idea of how to do it the right way and how to choose good streaming options that are going to work for you and hopefully save you a bundle of money every single month by choosing different ways of consuming TV and movie entertainment options.
Oh, Joel, a bundle of money? I see what you did there. Yeah, so streaming options, right? It used to be like there's sacrifices that you had to make when it came to cutting cable. It used to be that when you cut the cord, it meant giving up a whole lot in the process. It was hard to get the channels that you wanted, especially for sports lovers. And that is no longer the case because, you know, streaming services, they abound now for just all sorts of wants that you might have. Joel, you mentioned how more folks than ever are cutting traditional pay TV. Deloitte, you know, that consulting research firm, they released a report and they mentioned how for the first time ever, there are now more folks paying for streaming services than there are paying for pay cable TV. And that's a trend that folks obviously saw coming, but I think it's an important milestone to kind of show that this is where things are going. And so hopefully with this episode, we can help you to make the best informed decisions for you.
Yeah, and I've even noticed, Matt, that when people do cut the cord and they go into the realm of streaming, well, prices have risen quickly, even in the streaming service arena. And so people have found themselves when they cancel cable, when they cut the cord, that their internet service is more expensive than they thought. And when they get all of the streaming services that they want, they end up paying actually somewhat close to a cable bill. And so we'll kind of tell you how we think you can thoughtfully choose a streaming package that fits for you without paying an arm and a leg and running it up close to what you were paying for cable. But let's talk about cable for a second. And the classic way that it was sold, Matt, was the bundle. The bundle was huge. It was
the bundle,
right? It was internet, TV and a telephone. And the median bundle price from the big providers right now is almost, it's just shy of $200 a month. And it's going up. Like we said, it's going up drastically every single year for people that do remain. And it's been billed, it's been marketed to consumers that the bundle is the biggest way to save, right? If you stick these three things together, you're going to pay less. And so for a long time now, people have bought into that and they've decided that the bundle was the way to go. Well, that's not the case. You actually typically pay more when you sign up for a bundle. And so the first thing we just have to make sure people know is to beware of that bundle.
And Joel, one of the ways that you do pay more with bundles is because they are wasteful. So, I mean, yes, it might be a deal if you want all those things, but oftentimes, like, they make you purchase more than you might otherwise, right? You end up getting 628 channels when in reality, maybe you really only watch 8, like, tops on a good day.
Which is honestly, when you survey people's viewing habits, they usually watch a handful of channels, and yet they have access to more than this earth could even really contain.
Yeah, it's hundreds, right? It's ridiculous. Have you been over at someone's house or been somewhere where they had actual cable and you click the guide section and you see, like, literally they're on channel 600 something and you're like, okay, I have no idea where to even go from here. Like, I'm having to jump by the page to even see what the actual channels are.
I go straight to ESPN 8, the Ocho, typically, but it is absurd. I don't even know how to navigate it, really.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so, you know, bundling, it's wasteful. Debundling makes it easier to see what you're actually paying and will allow you to choose and negotiate appropriately. It's just a more efficient way for you to actually get your content.
Yeah, and I just mentioned that inside of a bundle, it typically a landline is provided too, or now sometimes VoIP service.
Did you say landline, Joel?
People still have those, you know? I mean, it's crazy, but that's another thing that the price is getting jacked up on as more people cut their landline. The folks that remain loyal to the phone company are paying astronomically more for that landline. And so most people don't use a landline anymore. The thing to do is to cut your landline altogether as you debundle. When you get rid of the bundle, really the only thing you need from your cable or phone company is internet access. You don't need a landline anymore. So a couple of other options really quickly are Ooma, Magic Jack, and Skype. Your cell phone too, right? I mean, our cell phones are so good now that it's typically unnecessary to have an actual landline. And I know one of the reasons that people keep landlines around is for 911 service. And your cell phone is actually really, really good at this point in time for pinpointing more of an exact location. So yeah, I would just say cut the landline. There's no real reason to keep it around anymore.
Joel, you know, as we talk about landlines, it makes me laugh a little bit because I'm sure a lot of folks are thinking, like, why are they even talking about landlines? And obviously, maybe a lot of listeners are excited to hear us talk about the different streaming options because that's kind of maybe more of our generation. But I do think that these are conversations that we can have maybe with our parents or maybe some other folks that we know who do have these bundles. And so it's good to be informed of the different options that are out there, even if you haven't had a landline yourself for years.
Yeah, Matt. And what you just said actually reminds me of something I saw a few years back that people are still paying in droves to the tune of 2 million folks, paying for AOL email to the tune of like $20 a month.
Nice.
And there are just these things that maybe if you're listening in your 20s, you might not know what AOL is, honestly. Or if you've heard of it, you barely remember that it existed. Matt, you and I grew up in the dial-up internet ages. We used AOL Instant Messenger. But the fact that some people are still paying AOL every month for something that is free is kind of absurd. And so that's kind of why we're mentioning this. You can talk to your parents or talk to an aunt or uncle or somebody that you know that might still be paying for landline service, and you can talk to them about some of these alternative options and ways that they can save more money.
Did you ever watch the movie You've Got Mail? It's like
oh heck yeah!
Did you remember that one?
Yeah,
was in that? Was that Meg Ryan and or Tom Hanks?
Tom, okay. both of them. That was a classic, yeah, right there.
Yeah, they completely locked themselves into that era for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, also when it comes to bundles with pay TV. Those providers will often force you into a contract. It might come with a dirt cheap first year price, but then after that, man, all bets are off. And that contract price after that first year is sky high. It's astronomical. So make sure that you read the fine print and so you know specifically that promotional period and when it ends.
Yeah, and I think one good rule of thumb right now is to not make a multi-year commitment in particular. I mean, we would suggest getting away from cable, satellite, phone companies and their bundle offerings altogether. But the biggest thing is to not make a multi-year commitment to lock yourself into a contract, because this space is just changing so quickly. And if you lock yourself into something long-term, as innovation is happening, you're just setting yourself up to pay more than you want to or should be. And I think another really important thing to mention is that pay TV users have some of the worst experiences and have some of the worst things to say about the companies that they do business with. When you look at Consumer Reports and JD Power ratings, they always perform poorly. So why are you paying money to companies that don't treat you well? Why are you paying exorbitant amounts of money to companies that don't care about you and play a lot of gotchas? I think there are better companies that you should be doing business with. And so why not give them your hard-earned money as opposed to companies that consistently treat customers poorly?
Yeah, and those companies that we should give our money to, that's who we're going to talk about after the break. We're going to talk about the different streaming companies. We're going to talk about some of the different streaming platforms as well. So stick around. All right, Joel, we're back. And before we talk about the paid streaming services, let's talk about some free ways to get streaming entertainment. I want you to talk about this, man, because you and your wife, y'all do this a lot, specifically the library. Tell us how you can get some of that free content through the library.
First off, you can get DVDs at the library if you're old school. If you got that
DVD player still?
Yeah. If you're up for that and actually going in and picking out DVDs and tossing them in a machine that reads them and plays them on your TV, go for that. And yeah, there are also great streaming services that work in conjunction with your local library membership. And I think the best one is called Canopy with a K, K-A-N-O-P-Y. It's really, really awesome. And if your library has partnered with Canopy, which sadly ours here in Atlanta has not.
It has not.
With the game, Fulton County.
Which, by the way, did you click the button to fill out your information and send them a message?
Oh, heck yeah, I did.
Okay, because I did too.
Good. So hopefully they will hear our cries for help.
What did you say in the comment as far as why you wanted it?
Get this now because it's awesome.
Yeah, I just said because it's awesome.
Yeah. So Canopy is really great. It's got awesome streaming options for kids and for adults. And honestly, Matt, I kind of compared it to the Netflix lineup, and it seemed just as good, if not potentially better, than a lot of the stuff. Nice. I was finding on Netflix. So newsflash, I canceled our Netflix membership, even though we don't have Canopy available. I just realized that I don't need Netflix in my life. Like I need fewer streaming options. We'll talk about that later on in the show. So yeah, if you're looking for good streaming content, don't forget about the resources that are available from your local library.
And aside from that, there are some non-library free resources as well. Specifically, make sure to check out Crackle. That's by Sony, and Pluto as well as another one. And Roku has a free channel of content as well. Specifically, Pluto has an option where it kind of looks like live TV, which I was kind of bashing on the guide thing where you like click guide and it shows like the time every 30 minutes and it shows the programs running. But if you're kind of into that, maybe check out Pluto because they kind of got that going on. But they also have the option for you to stream movies and TV just like Crackle does. And we'll get into this in a little bit. But those apps are also on Amazon Fire, Roku, Apple TV. These are all platforms that you can actually watch this content on your TV in your living room or wherever you have your TV.
Yeah. And don't forget YouTube. There's a ton of content on there. Often the movies and stuff that are on YouTube are you have to pay for, but there's just so much good content on YouTube. And in particular, man, there's even podcasts of people having just really awesome long form conversations. That's usually what I use YouTube for, is to listen to those. It's not all just like crummy cat videos or just janky user generated stuff. Like there's some really good stuff living on YouTube. So just want to recommend that to folks too. One word of caution is to not download movies via torrent sites. It is illegal and you could be setting yourself up for downloading viruses. I think that torrent sites have kind of subsided in large part because streaming sites have become so good.
Yeah, it's so easy, right?
So easy.
Like, why even deal with the hassle of it, right?
Right, yeah. And pretty inexpensive at the same time. And I just wanted to throw that out there that downloading torrents could be a bad idea for multiple reasons.
Yeah, and there's some actual like quote unquote legal torrent sites as well. But even those are super sketchy. So just stay away. And also don't forget digital antennas. That will allow you to watch content over the air And it looks amazing for free because they're broadcasting now in HD. You know, you pop that up on your TV. Maybe you've got a 4K and it upscales it to look fantastic on your nice TV. It's just a fantastic option. And those antennas, I mean, they hardly cost anything. You can spend $20, maybe $30 for like a really nice one that's supposedly like the 80-mile range one, right? Like it's broken down by like range, like how far it can receive signal. But, you know, you spend $20 or $30 and you've got all the major local channels. We actually use that maybe once or twice a year, because my wife will want to watch the award shows, like the Grammys or the Oscars. And she always wants to watch those live because she likes it.
Yeah, it's great for football lots of times and other just local TV programming as well.
Talking about American football or are you talking soccer?
Both, man. It depends, right?
My Soccer 11 co-host.
Yeah, I mean, whatever is airing at the time. But yeah, I think people think that digital antennas are not going to offer as good of a picture as cable, but it's actually the opposite.
No, it's fantastic. It's amazing.
The cable compresses the signal, but what you're getting over the air via your antenna is actually a better picture. So yeah, antennas are pretty awesome. Another really cool site that's kind of up and coming is called Locast, locast.org. And you can watch local broadcast TV for free in about a third of the country right now. So you can go there and check and see if it's available. But basically, they're taking your local television and streaming it to you through Locast. And it's a donation-supported website, which is kind of cool. So
nice.
That prevents them kind of from being sued from the TV operators. But yeah, so Locast.org is really cool. If they're available in your area, I would say check it out if you want streaming local TV.
That's another option that is not available to you and me here in Atlanta.
I know, sadly.
So moving on to streaming content, right? If you want to get non-cable video on your TV, you have to get a platform. A lot of times smart TVs will come with an OS built into them. I've noticed a lot of TVs actually have Roku, which is one of the better ones actually built in, and that's their native operating system instead of, you know, like the basic Samsung platform. I don't know what the other ones are, but they're oftentimes not that great because it's almost like an afterthought, right? Like you've got the TV manufacturer and they're just putting something together and it's kind of clunky and it's slow.
Yeah, a few years ago, I would have told somebody just to get a regular non-smart television that was really nice, and then get your aftermarket smart edition, right? A Fire Stick or a Roku.
Exactly.
And use it that way. But most of the TVs coming out today are smart TVs. But yeah, just shop accordingly and find one that works for you. And I don't know about you, Matt, but I really like the Fire Stick and the Roku the best.
Yeah, the Roku is crazy affordable. Fire Sticks, it's fantastic as well. But I mean, it doesn't hurt to start with the native application on the TV now, because you know what? You might like that, and it might last you a year or two before it starts feeling really slow, and maybe then you can buy the next version of whatever streaming platform you want. Obviously, there's the Apple TV as well. It's supposed to be the best. I actually haven't had one of those in years, and that's mostly because they're so freaking expensive.
Crazy expensive.
It's like...
like three times the price.
Yeah, at least. We're talking, I think, like $40 to $60 for a Roku or a Fire Stick, depending on if you're going to get the 4K version.
Those Fire Sticks go down to like $20 or $25 sometimes.
If you get them on sale, yeah. But the new Apple TV is more like $180.
Oh, gosh.
And granted, you get the beautiful design and it works the best, but... nominally, it works nominally better, in my opinion.
Yeah, who cares how good the design is? Because like on a Fire Stick, you don't even see it. It's plugged into the back of my TV, and it's not even visible.
Well, I mean like the OS. Like you're kind of clicking through it, and you know the shapes look better.
Oh, okay. It's not worth my money.
But that's what we're talking about, essentially. These are like the little dongles or the little boxes that plug in via HDMI into your TV and through that device and its software. That's how you're able to stream your content via the different content providers.
Yeah, so let's talk about that now, the different content providers. We talked about some of the ones provided by the library. We talked about some of the free streaming resources. Let's talk about the paid ones and kind of go over some of the ones that we think are the best. At this point in time, they're kind of divided up into two categories. There are some streaming services that offer you access to live TV, and then there are other streaming services that offer you access to a catalog of TV and movies that you can watch anytime you want. And those are obviously cheaper because they don't have the live TV built into their services. You're looking at about $12 to $13 a month for both of those services, and it's worth it to look at the catalog, although they're ever changing, but some of their original shows, and to see what they offer, to see if one of those makes sense for you. But Matt, let's get into some of the live TV options and discuss kind of what they offer and what makes them different from one another.
Yeah, well, interestingly, you didn't mention Hulu, and that's because, well, Hulu does have their Hulu Plus, which is a paid option, but they now have Hulu Plus Live. But now they've transitioned to live content. They've got sports. But with that comes a higher price tag, and that's one of the bigger differentiators between the sort of standard catalog of TV and movies versus a provider who also provides live TV. So we just mentioned Hulu Plus Live TV. Make sure to check them out. But also Sling is a fantastic option. They offer two different live TV bundles. They offer an orange one and a blue one. That's just how they decided to slice it up. But one you can get for $25, or you can get both for $40. I personally have never actually used Sling. Have you ever used it before, Joel?
I have, yeah. I've checked it out. And it's one of my favorites, actually. And in particular, I love the way that Sling has given you the ability to pay less and to grab fewer channels. Because like we said, a lot of people have access to hundreds of channels, but watch typically on average about 8. That's what the statistics bear out, that most people don't watch that many channels. And Sling kind of narrows down their packages a little bit more. And most of these streaming providers don't. They kind of try to throw in everything like you would have gotten with cable, and they bump the price point up closer to $50. So if you can be content with one of the packages from Sling, you can pay, you know, half that every month and get the streaming content that you desire. You're watching live TV, your favorite channels, but you're doing it at a fraction of the price of cable. And so, yeah, that's what I like about Sling.
Yeah, and with Sling, you can watch on your cell phone, man. I know I go to a lot of weddings, and a lot of times they're on Saturdays. And you would be surprised at how many folks might have their phone kind of secretly hidden during a wedding reception because they want to be able to catch the last few minutes of their beloved football team. But, you know, if you're into that, know that Sling is an option for you to be able to watch live sports.
Yeah, and YouTube TV is another one. This is different than regular YouTube. This is a $50 a month service where you get access to a bunch of channels that you can stream live. It gets the highest praise of any live TV streaming service that I've seen. You can DVR stuff with their service. Up to 6 people at a time can stream on your YouTube TV account.
That's nice.
Yeah, so it is one of the most robust services available. And especially, you know, if you have up to 6 available people streaming, you could split that with somebody else and maybe half your cost. But that's just another one that you want to look into. And anytime you're assessing these providers, you're going to want to specifically look at the package they're offering, what channels are involved, and to see what works for you.
You mentioned DVR. That actually reminds me, there's a lot of TVs as well that are building DVR that are built into the actual smart TV. And so they have an option sometimes to have like a USB port, and you can just plug in a USB storage device, and they'll allow you to record a certain amount of recorded content over the air. So if you have a digital antenna, you can DVR over the air directly to your own TV without having to use any sort of platform or streaming device, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty slick.
And so if you're not into sports at all, be sure to check out Philo. That might be your best option. At $20 a month for 58 channels, that's a really solid offering. They're more of a new startup. They're kind of new on the scene of streaming content, but make sure that you do not overlook them.
Yeah, there are even more streaming services that you could consider. We'll link to those in the show notes as well. But ultimately, with this choice overload, figuring out what is right for you can become kind of difficult. And so we will help you figure out how to make that choice and how to do it in true budget format right after the break.
Okay, Joel, we're back from the break, and now we're going to talk about some specific steps that our listeners can take when they are trying to decide which streaming service and what streaming platform to go with. The first thing that we're going to recommend is to basically make a list of the different channels, your favorite channels that you watch, the ones that you can't live without, and make sure that the different providers that you're looking at include those channels. In particular, when it comes to live TV, you want to make sure, okay, I want to make sure I've got Fox or FS1, or I want to make sure I've got ESPN. But aside from that, if you're not into sports, maybe there's just one particular show that you're really into. Well, guess what? You don't need an entire channel for that one show. Maybe Hulu or maybe Amazon Video has that in their catalog. That is one way to really cut back on the costs that you're going to spend on cable.
Yeah, if you can buy specific episodes as they release of the show that you like, don't buy a whole streaming package just to get that one show. There are other ways to access that. But yeah, I love that idea of making that list of your favorite channels. And then you need to dissect the top streaming options that might work for you. Like we said, we'll list those all out in the show notes. Seeing what they have available and specifically choosing the one that best fits your needs at the lowest price point is totally the way to go. And I will say, if your list of favorite channels is, let's say it's 10 channels, and you're looking around and none of these streaming services offer all 10, and you feel like you need to do two to combine it to get that, my suggestion would be to forego a couple of channels and try to go with the streaming service that best represents most of your TV viewing.
Yeah. You know, Joel, you mentioned this earlier, right? But some people will cancel cable and then grab like multiple different streaming plans. And, you know, really that might not save you much in the end if you end up going this route. Like it's not going to be worth it. And so we do think it's incredibly valuable to reassess what you're actually watching and maybe even challenge yourself. Well, maybe I can just stick with this one provider and just see all the content that they provide. But we would recommend for you to regularly reassess the TV that you're watching to make sure that you don't have an entire streaming service just for one show.
Yeah, just like Marie Kondo asks, if it sparks joy, you know, when you're getting rid of clothes and if you haven't worn it in the past 6 months or past year or whatever, that's when you're supposed to get rid of it. Well, same thing with your streaming service. If you haven't watched something in the past month, maybe it makes sense to ditch that streaming service altogether. And so, Matt, I mentioned briefly earlier that we're canceling Netflix. And it's just because that $13 a month, I didn't feel like I was getting my money's worth anymore. I just wasn't really watching much on Netflix. There are other ways for my kids to get the small amounts of TV that they want to watch in with Amazon Prime that we already have, right? And so I just felt like it was unnecessary. And so it just made a lot of sense after thinking about it rationally that Netflix was a goner. And so, yeah, I think reassessing your viewing habits, seeing what you're actually gravitating towards, where you're actually streaming your content from, and then cutting those other things out of your life is kind of a good way to go too.
Yeah, ask yourself the question, does this TV spark joy?
Toss the entire TV out. No streaming services at all.
You know what sparked joy for me when I was a little kid? The Weather Channel.
I was going to say apple juice, but I know that's not true because you didn't have access to it.
Apple juice and the Weather Channel. I was a dull kid. But not like the fancy Weather Channel that we know. I'm talking about like the red, green, and blue bars that used to go. You know what I'm talking about? This is like super old school, local on the eights. Weather Channel in the morning, because I love to know what the weather was going to be that day. And that's just another little peek into my childhood. So don't judge.
An odd childhood it was, that's for sure. Yeah, and whatever you choose, whether you want to stick it out with your cable company because you like having access to an insane amount of channels, or whether you decide that streaming is best for you and you're ready to kind of line these services up against each other and pick the one that works best for you, well, it's important wherever you come down to be a shrewd negotiator. So if you stick with cable, negotiating that cable and internet bill together is important to saving money. Not signing a long-term contract, like we mentioned, and threatening to leave firmly and politely could be a huge boon to saving money on that pay TV bill that you have. And even if you're going with a streaming provider, you're still going to have to get internet service through that cable or phone company. And it's important to know and negotiate your options when it comes to internet service as well.
Yeah, that's right, man. And you know, you just joked about this, about tossing the TV out altogether. But ultimately, I think it's a good challenge for us to challenge ourselves to watch less television. Fewer channels might mean more time for us to read and for other, you know, relational, family, even side hustles that we're considering. There's just different things that we want to achieve where we don't feel that we have the time to do that. But oftentimes we do set aside time here and there to watch TV.
Yeah, I'll say for me, I found it fulfilling to listen to more audiobooks as opposed to watching more TV. I still set aside some time during the week to watch, you know, one of my favorite shows on Hulu. I'm watching Baskets right now, Zach Galifianakis show. It's a dark comedy. It's pretty sweet.
Is it good?
It's really good. But truly setting aside more time for audiobooks, it still kind of feels like something I'm passively doing as opposed to actually putting a book in front of my face. But I feel like I'm learning more and it's more productive than just turning on a TV show and staring blankly at it. So I'm not hating on TV. I really like watching TV sometimes, but watching a little bit less TV, it really couldn't hurt, could it?
It definitely couldn't hurt. It saves us money, makes us a better person in general. And something else too I'm thinking of is just the communal aspect of watching TV together. This is not something we've really touched on yet, but if you don't have a sports package, right? What that might force you to do is maybe go to your local bar where that plays those games or matches, or maybe it encourages you to get in touch with a friend who you know does have access to the, you know, streaming live sports like that, and you're strengthening your community. You know, watching sports together, you know, with your friends who are also really into it is just so much more fun. That's something, Joel, that you and I have done more recently, and I have had so much more fun doing that than just sitting at home, you know, by myself watching a match. I do love the community building side effect, right, of being cheap, essentially.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Watching like a sport with friends is so much better than watching it alone.
Oh yeah.
So do you want to come over tomorrow night and watch baskets with me, I guess is my question.
Well, is that a sport?
No, it's not a sport, but it's a good show.
Okay.
All right, maybe. Think about it.
I'll think about it.
And one last thing that it's important to think about is to take advantage of the free trials. Pretty much all of these streaming services offer a 5 to 7 day trial period. And so give them a shot and see if there's enough content that interests you that makes it worthwhile for you to sign up for that service. I even found too, Matt, that when I was looking for things to watch on Netflix, sometimes I would spend, and I don't think I'm the only person, 10, 15 minutes just to find the thing that I wanted to watch. And it felt like a complete waste of my time. It just made me annoyed with the service in general. And so what I would do is I would find articles from sites that I trusted their opinion about what was good to watch on Netflix. And I would scour those articles, and it would help me know what was good, what was buried, that was a really good movie or a great TV show maybe that existed on the service that I didn't even know was there. And so, yeah, finding those sites that tell you what's good, that can be helpful in utilizing these streaming services well.
All right, buddy, let's kick it back to the beer. This episode we had Saison de Bleu. This is by Side Project and was donated to the show.
Your pronunciation was on point.
But I knew you'd
so
like that.
So good.
And that was donated to the show by our buddy David. So David, thanks so much for this beer. Joel, what were your thoughts?
Oh man, this is so good. Side Project is kind of one of those renowned breweries, and it's one of those that's, it's hard to get your hands on some of their awesome beers. So when David texted me that he was in Missouri at the brewery, which beers do you want? I was like, oh my gosh, it feels like Christmas morning.
Dream come true.
Yeah. This beer was really, really good. It was weedy, it was tart, and it had this refined funkiness, which to people that don't normally drink craft beer, that's going to sound really weird. But certain beers have a really good kind of farmhouse funky quality to them. And I think even my explanation there might sound weirder. But as you grow to like beers like this, it's a really appetizing flavor. Like it tastes really good.
It's so good.
And this beer, to me, like it hits those notes, those mild funky notes that make it really interesting and provide a lot of complexity to the beer overall. So, I mean, I really, really enjoyed this one. And yeah, David, let me know when you're going back to St. Louis.
Yeah, man, that's what's so great about sour beers, right? Like the complexity that they bring sometimes can almost be overwhelming to the palate. Like it's just such this avalanche of flavor. But guess what doesn't get overloaded is your stomach. Like you're not drinking this and you don't feel weighed down by all the flavor, which is typically the case when it comes to a really big beer with a higher ABV, with something maybe that's barrel aged. There are only so many of those types of beers that I'm able to drink. Whereas with sours, there's almost, right, almost no limit to the amount of sour beer that I can drink. A lot of times they are a lower ABV, and it makes it easier for you and me to share a bottle like this. This is a 750 milliliter format, which is a lot of fun to share with your best friend, and certainly lends itself to enjoying when it's warmer outside.
Yeah, and we are in those dog days of summer here in Atlanta. And yeah, this beer had those perfect, complex, yet refreshing qualities that I really love in a beer that I'm drinking, especially this time of year. All right, Matt, so let's get on to our final thoughts for this episode. And it's really important for folks to beware of the bundle. As more people cut the cord, the old guard pay TV services are jacking up their rates. And so it's even more important for folks that still do pay for cable to consider leaving, because the options are plentiful and staying put is going to continue to ensure that you're paying an exorbitant rate for the TV that you're watching.
And if you're really looking to save some money, man, make sure that you check out Crackle, check out Pluto and Roku's free channel as well. They're legit. There is some really good content up there, some legit recent movies and shows, and you can get those on your actual streaming platforms that you might already have hooked up to your TV, remember to search there first.
Yeah, and don't forget, the library also has Canopy, which is another sweet free streaming service.
You're really excited about that thing.
I like it, and I wish I had it. And also, if you're a sports lover, there are awesome options for you in the streaming realm now when it comes to sports, and that just didn't used to be the case. So make sure to check those options out as well, because you could save a lot of money by cutting the cord and signing up for a streaming service that offers great access to the sports you like to watch.
And two of the players right now who are doing a great job, they're crushing it, Sling as well as YouTube TV. But you know what? On the show notes, we'll put links to some of the other providers as well, like DirecTV, AT&T. There's a lot of options out there for you. But go to howtomoney.com and check out the show notes.
Yeah, and if you like this podcast and you have found it helpful, well, we'd appreciate it if you'd leave us a kind review on Apple Podcasts. Another awesome way you could support us is to tell a friend about the show. We'd appreciate that too. Maybe your best friend. I would tell my best friend about the show, but he's sitting across from me right now.
Aw, shucks.
you already know about the show.
Telling your friend is like the analog TV version of leaving a review.
Yeah, it totally is.
All right, man. I think that's going to be it. So until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.